A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Today, we have quite the episode lined up for you guys. We have Joseph Biggs here in the gulag with me. The Proud Boys, one of the founders, an American hero that's going down. I jokingly call him Joseph Nelson Mandela Biggs. And before he was sentenced, that was funny, but since he's been sentenced to 17 years in federal prison for his involvement on January 6th, basically just walking through the Capitol with a group of guys that are part of a fraternity that loves America and represents Christian values, the Proud Boys. He's been sentenced to be slammed by the government. This is, I think, one of the most largest miscarriages of justice that we've ever had in this country. It's not an understatement. We have been targeted by the prosecutors and by this government as January Sixers to set an example of what they want to just crush all political dissent, anybody that stands up for our patriotic values here, Constitution, liberty-loving Americans. Basically, they're sending a signal flare out to the rest of the American people. If you organize, if you're part of a group, if you show up at a Trump rally, if you show up at a pro-liberty rally and you stand up for American rights and, you know, things turn south and go sideways at the rally, you're basically toast. They're going to come after you with everything they've got. Joe Biggs is on the other side of a six-month-long federal trial that was so grueling. It was unbelievable. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. Some of the stuff that's been happening inside the courtroom drama that you guys might not hear about. This is Joe's one of his first times speaking out in many months because of basically the silencing that they've been threatening to punch up a sentence even more. But now he's on the other side of that, and he joins us live in the D.C. gulag. Joe Biggs, how you doing? God bless you, brother.
Hey, what's going on? My name's Joe. I'm a 39-year-old Christian male. A dad to a beautiful 6-year-old girl that's just amazing. I love her so much, Savannah. This is a travesty. This really is a horrible misuse of justice, I mean, to say the least. 17 years for literally walking around. The prosecutors in this entire long trial, which was the longest trial they said they've ever had in D.C., the FBI, the government, couldn't even come up with any plan. There was no proof of a plan. There was no paperwork, nothing in our digital forensics, our cell phones. We'd never talked about it, never texted about anything. January 6th was just like any other protest that we were going to attend. We were going to walk around like we always do our chants, have our voices heard, and go back home and hang out. It's an excuse for us, we like to joke around that we're a drinking club with a patriot problem, or a patriot club with a drinking problem, either way you want to look at it. but we're a bunch of fun-loving guys, and that day was no different. And here we are being, slaughtered, led out here and told that I was literally told by the judge and by the prosecutors that I was, essentially a terrorist, that my shaking of offense was tantamount to terrorism, that, the prosecutor explained that my words on the bullhorn saying, Trump 2020 or Trump 2024 and, whose house our house, whose streets these streets, all this crap, they said my words were like bullets in a mass shooting, that I was worse than a Timothy McVeigh or an Osama bin Laden. And it blows my mind. I'm the furthest thing from that. I've served in the Army. I spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan. I got awards out the wazoo. I've met presidents. I've got Purple Hearts. This, to me, I've dedicated my life to fighting terrorism. And to have this government call me a terrorist, it's really disheartening. So, I'm not giving up. I don't roll over. I don't quit. Joe Biggs is not a quitter. God didn't build me to quit. God built me to continue to go And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to go forward. I'm going to continue to be victorious. You know, this might seem like I'm losing right now, but this is only going to make my testament that much bigger because, you know, God goes with these tests and he turns our tests into what? Testimony. So, you know, I guarantee you I'm going to have one hell of a testimony when this is all said and done. And I'm going to have far more of a cooler life to talk about than Judge Kelly or Jason McCullough or any of these other people in D.C. that want to call me a terrorist. You know, we're not going to give up. And I just, I don't know.
We're not going to give up. And Joe's right. Sitting inside the prison and, you know, mine and Joe's story goes back, actually. We're going to bring this back about almost a year ago now. We're both sitting inside solitary confinement in Alexandria jail there. They had us on 22-hour lockdown. The lights stayed on the cell all day. And I was hearing from the guards that there's another Jan Sixer up a couple floors up from me. And he's in the room with the Bible. He's praying. He's maintaining his resolve. And I sent him up some Bible verses and trying to have a little bit of fellowship, even though it's so hard in there. They tried to seclude us and isolate us so much. But I've just watched Joe's walk and seen his faith in action throughout the trial, throughout the sentencing procedure, and, you know, this aberration of justice. And he hasn't lost his joy. I mean, he came in a little bit, you know, disheartened to see the American justice system that we all know and love, these institutions that he protected, fighting 10 years in the military for, completely fail him and fail all of the people in the Proud Boys and many Jan Sixers around us. And, you know, a little disheartened, but, you know, maybe slumped, but as the Bible says, hard-pressed but not surrendering, and maybe a little pressed against but never giving up. And I just love to see the embodiment of what I believe a true January 6th patriot is. I only bring the real Jan 6 patriots who have no quit in them on this program. And I think all the Gateway Pundit listeners right now that are tuning in, they can rest assured that Joe Biggs' fight is definitely not over. We have this appeal process. We have great people in our corner. You know, we're fighting hard to get Trump back in office. And this is the beginning of Joe's story. It's not the end. So I want to ask you, Joe, this is the biggest question that I believe that the American people want to know. Why the Proud Boys? Why has the government come so hard against you guys specifically? What is it that you represent, or what is it that you that they feel so threatened about, the Proud Boys, and about you guys, that they have literally put together sentences that murderers and rapists and child molesters don't even get close to in the federal courtroom? Why you guys?
Well, I think it's because we have been unafraid of standing up and speaking out. We go to these venues. We go to these events where leftists are, you know, inside speaking about, you know, radicalizing children or sexualizing children, about bringing, you know, Marxist ideologies into schools. You know, we go to these events and we say, no, enough is enough. And, you know, we stand up against Antifa. We stand up against the radical parts of BLM. You know, people were scared for the longest time that, you know, Antifa were going to come after them, or that these radical parts of BLM were going to come after them. You know, we would see videos of journalists being attacked, people out eating dinner being attacked. And enough of us said enough is enough. You know, we got, you know, kind of pissed off by it all. And we said, we're going to make a stand. You know, and I think that really pissed off the Democrats. That really put a damper in their plans, because they were trying to intimidate voters. That's what they wanted to do in 2020, I believe, or 2016 with Trump versus Hillary. They were trying to intimidate voters, get them scared to not go out. And they started sending out Antifa to attack the voters. But we went out there and created a barrier between, you know, your everyday American civilian versus these Antifa terrorists. And it really pissed off the government. And I knew that they were really watching us and really had an eye on us when Trump and Biden had their very first debate, when Biden named us. I knew at that point in time that we were on their radar. And, you know, my brother Enrique Tarrio says that, you know, he made this prediction that if Biden were to become president, he would have us in chains. And, well, I'm in chains. But you know what? My heart's not broken. There's still pep in my step. There's still testosterone and blood flowing through my body, so I'm not giving up. I'm happy. I sleep good. I'm not tossing and turning. I'm not crying and whining. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to be victorious. And, hey, look, if I end up doing it in 15 years in prison or something, guess what? That's a blink of an eye in eternity, because I will be with God in heaven, and I will be there for eternity. And these other people that are coming after us, they won't be there. You know, so, you know, we'll see who wins in the end. But I'm pretty confident in where I stand in all of this.
That's the spirit of the risen Lord right there. Man, Jesus Christ is living in my brother's heart. And we're really blessed to be able to be chosen by God to go through this persecution. And I want to talk to you a little bit about persecution in this country. The conservatives, the Christians, right, we are being persecuted in this country. And you guys have become the poster boy for that. The Democrats are using you guys as a hockey puck, as a political statement, as basically you're the 2024 campaign, Joe, that we locked up the Proud Boys. It's like what, you know, when a president says, like, you know, we got Osama. It's like we got big. That's what the Democrats, they're touting. They don't have much else to run. The economy, nothing else. Their social policies are horrible. They're destroying America. People are not for the transgender movement and the critical race theory and all of these things that the Democrats are pushing. So they have to have their homegrown fake terrorists that they went and got and sentenced to nearly two decades in prison. You've become an agenda. Your organization has become part of their political agenda. How come the agenda has been so staunchly against you guys? There's other organizations out there. Tell me about the Proud Boys and the agenda that's against you guys from the onset of your creation of your organization. Because I was just watching on the news how years have gone by through the Proud Boys and how you guys have grown it to be an influence. The influence is what scares them.
Yeah, I've been living rent-free in the government's head for quite a while. You know, I've had more than one or two run-ins with the FBI, and I'm proud to say that I'm okay with that. You know, when you're doing the right thing, when you're taking heat, that means you're over the target. And I'm okay with that. I think that we live rent-free in their minds because we are influential, because we are regular, everyday Americans. We're your cops, your firefighters, you know, your cooks, your waiters, you know, your first responders. We're the soldiers that fight for your country. You know, we're everywhere. Proud Boys are everywhere. And what we believe in resonates with Americans, and what we have to say really, really sends a message that Americans agree with, that we believe in, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. We believe in Christian values. We think that men should be...
You have 1 minute remaining.
...to the women and their wives. They should protect their families. They should take care of their families.
Yeah. Well, I could definitely get down with those values. I think that those values and how much influence you guys have grown around making America great again, making this country return back to its Christian foundation, is really that agenda goes against their agenda. So it's a battle of agendas, and now they think because they can imprison you, they can imprison the ideals, but they cannot. This just makes you guys into martyrs and strengthens the ideas and strengthens the message. So we'll be right back, guys. We've got to go to a quick commercial break. We're here with Joe Biggs and Jake Lang live from the D.C. Gulag. This is the Political Prisoner Podcast. God bless. Hey, guys. Welcome back. It's the Political Prisoner Podcast. You already know we're live on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify. Just type in Jake Lang in the search bar. We're also live on Blessed News Network, 8 p.m. on the weekend, Eastern Time. You can catch the Political Prisoner Podcast. I mean, literally, we're live on the Blessed News app. Download it for free on Apple and Android. We're sitting here, guys. We have an historic moment here. Any single day, they could take Joe Biggs out of this pod. That's what they did to the Oath Keepers when they slammed them with, you know, 10. I think Kelly Meggs got, how many years did Kelly Meggs get?
14
years. Another Oath Keeper got 10, and Stuart Rhodes got 18. Joseph Biggs, one of the founders of the Proud Boys, is with me here. Just a few days ago, he was slammed with 17 years federal prison sentence. This is not kid time, guys. This is real life, life-ruining, life-changing, life-altering prison sentences here. These are not slaps on the wrist. These are not the things that they handed out to Antifa and BLM rioters. These are heavy-handed punishments purposely handed down from corrupt federal prosecutors. Biden's regime, his Department of Justice, has gone off the rails and trying to destroy lives of great American men, red-blooded, humble patriots who love this country and stood up to defend it versus a communist coup d'etat that happened in the Capitol. Joe Biden, the Chinese puppet leader, installed right in our own Capitol building. So we're here live, guys. I want to get into some of the nitty-gritty about the trial with Joe Biggs. He's got some stuff to tell you about, some of the tricks of federal prosecutors. I mean, deception and dishonesty doesn't even begin to start with it. Throughout 6 months of trial, he's got a couple stories that'll blow your minds. And so we're going to hand it over to Joe. Joe, tell the audience, give us an example or two of some of the things that stuck out to you as some of the most egregious acts of selective prosecution or prosecutorial misconduct, things that prosecutors just overstepped their boundaries and went into more like a Soviet show trial, if you ask me.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing, though. I'm not one of the founders. I appreciate it.
Oh.
That was Gavin McGinnis. He was really, it was him. But I've definitely been there since kind of, you know, the beginning. I've been around for a long time, so I don't want to take credit or I don't deserve it. And before we move on to that question, I do want to say you previously asked me why you think the government's kind of after us. And I believe it's because we're effective, because we know how to use social media. We're really awesome with memes. We've really understood the culture that is this internet culture, and we've been able to take it, use it, and weaponize it. And I don't mean that in a you know hello out there prosecutors and FBI. I don't mean weaponize it like that, but I mean you take this and make it an effective tool to get people interested in politics, to get people interested in what's happening to our country, and to counter what it is that the leftist, the Marxist, evil people out there are doing. So that's why they don't like us, and that's why they come at us, because we are effective. Me and Enrique Tarrio and I are very good with the media. We're very good at taking the things that they say, flipping it and spinning it and using it against them. And that's really not been something they like, and it's really pissed them off a lot.
I agree.
As far as things that happen in trial, wow.
Get us the nitty-gritty, Joe.
It's hard to narrow down because there was so much. So let's just start off with some of the bad stuff. So witness intimidation, witness tampering, all the things that they charged with. So you know, like the obstruction charge that we got, that's for obstructing
an official proceeding.
So like witness tampering, like and witness intimidation, all that stuff.
They're doing that.
They did that to my girlfriend at the time. They were chasing her around. FBI agents were pulling up beside her at red lights and going, hey, we want to talk to you about blah, 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 and showing up at her work, showing up at the gym, showing up at a, restaurant, the grocery store, everywhere. And they scared people off. They went to a guy that I played Xbox with, kicked in his door, and went after him. I mean, they went to lengths to try to scare anybody that could possibly come to help us out that had anything good to say that could prove that we didn't have, any ill intentions on January 6th. We had FBI agents that were illegally listening in. We have it. We have proof they were listening to one of my co-defendants, Zachary Real, his calls with his lawyer, listening to the information. They were getting a step ahead of what we were going to do in court because they were listening to the conversations that they were having. So when we would come in to bring up this idea, they already had a counter to it because they'd already heard it. They spent all this money spying on us, going into everything. The FBI agents were pulling, like laughing and joking, hoping that we were going to lose our homes. We got all their stuff. They're idiots. They accidentally did a whole information drop, and they gave us all these instant messages they have in this program that the FBI uses. And the FBI agents were just sick. They were disgusting. They were hoping that the guys' wives were cheating on them. They were hoping that they would lose their homes, that their kids would be taken. It was insane. insane to hear that.
And American people, are you listening to this? These are where our tax dollars are going, apparently. This is the Gestapo that we're funding. Disgusting.
They altered evidence. We know they did. They've changed evidence. They've altered evidence. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, the court allowed a lot of this stuff to come through. We had videos that clearly proved that I was not the guy on the megaphone at the first breach telling people to go and knock down the fence. There was another guy that was closer, that was in between me and the fence, that was on a megaphone telling men, move to the front, push the women aside. We've got to get through this fence. We've got to take the Capitol. You know, and meanwhile, in the background, I'm chanting something about Antifa or whatever. But this other guy, this other agitator that no one knows who it is, he's one of Ray Epps' buddies, this guy's telling people to go to the fence, push it over, and go and take the Capitol. And I'm getting blamed for this. And you can see it on video, and they still didn't care, and they still blamed it on me. They blamed it on me at trial. They blamed me for everything. They even pushed out the false narrative that I had pulled a gun on someone, and we knew that it was false. They even came out and said, the FBI even admitted that it was false, but the judge still said you can say it in court. You can still say that this happened on January 6th, and they allowed that during the trial. The things that were allowed to be said, to be done, to be shown, blew my mind. If this was
two-sided. At the same time, they let the prosecutors show every strand of anything that could be considered and basically falsely twist it and cut and paste different parts of the video and show all that. But when you guys had your own evidence that you wanted to use exculpatory evidence that would exonerate you, they just kept on basically trying to, you know, the judge would, you know, sustain all of the overruling and you couldn't present it. That's how it was. I mean, it's not even a fair fight. It's a two-tier justice system, but inside the courtroom as well, once you get in there, it's not a fair fight. They put both hands behind your back and one leg tied to a chain.
So they say that I'm a terrorist because a fence that I stood at. So the first fence goes down where Ryan Samsel and Ray Epps are. They take down that first fence. I get blamed for that. It's not me. Then I get blamed for the second fence as well. So the second fence is the fence that's right there at this little, like, stage area. It's a little black metal fence. I put my hand on the fence, and there's people all around, hundreds of people, and they're on the fence swaying around, and my hands are on it. They say that I'm the one who somehow shook it and broke it, and they blame it on me. But it wasn't. There's actual footage that shows that 55 yards to my right, or maybe not even that far, like 30 yards to my right, where Ray Epps is, the fence goes down, and people start rushing onto the stage. But for some reason, the only video that's allowed to be shown during court and in the trial, there's a green glitch that happens right there, and the glitch goes away when the fence in front of me goes down. Mm. So they blame it on me again, saying that breach number two is my fault, and that I'm the one, and that's the reason that now we've got terrorism enhancement, and they said that this shaking of a fence is tantamount to terrorism, that I am in the same category as Osama bin Laden, or, you know, what's his name from the Oklahoma City bombing?
Timothy
McVeigh. You know, I'm on that same list as far as they're concerned. You know, a man who put his life on the line to fight for this country, who served, who was injured in combat, who fought terrorists for putting my hands on a fence that someone else broke. There's no words to explain what this is. There is no place for truth in the courtroom in D.C. There is no place for anything like that, because the courtroom in D.C. is for one thing, for the left to tell their story, and for you to sit there and take it and get it.
It's like January 6th Select Committee, round two.
Yes, and day one of the January 6th committee hearing, who do they talk about? President Trump and me.
Yeah. So you guys were guilty before you ever walked in that courtroom. Here's a very important question.
I was guilty before I even walked out there on the mall on January 6th.
Yeah. Listen to this. This is a very important question that I have for Joe, guys, because it's an historic question. How do you want the American people to remember January 6th? What did that day represent to you in its total summation of all the things that happened? Do you think it was a travesty, it was worse than 9/11, or do you think something else?
No, I don't think it's the I don't think it ranked anywhere up there. You know, when I got out of the Army, I became a journalist. I've covered riots. I've covered terrorist attacks. I've seen the most peaceful protest at the drop of a dime become chaotic and violent for no reason other than someone dropped something and it sounded like a gunshot, and then everything goes chaotic. You know, January 6th was another protest. And some people got out of hand and things happened, you know, it sucks, but I can tell you this, I don't think anybody went there that day for that to happen. I don't think anybody thought that that was going to happen. I think it just kind of happened. But I can tell you that, you know, not only was I set up, the police were set up. Officer Sons, who was the chief of police, if you've read his book, or if you've seen, read his transcript or seen the interview with Tucker Carlson, he believed that he was set up as well. They didn't have the people they needed. And you had a small number of police and a large number of people. The police were scared. They started firing into the crowd, and that escalated stuff. The police didn't handle it right, in my opinion. They shot people, and things got out of hand, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean, to me, I don't think about January 6th. It's not a very significant day for me. You know, it's significant, the aftermath for me, because of what happened. But to me, I've been to so many protests that have turned into riots that to me it's just like, okay, that's another thing. Like, I've been, like, the Ferguson, Missouri riots for Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. Those were far crazier. And you didn't see cops going and running off saying that we need to have congressional hearings. You didn't see any of that stuff. So why is this one so special?
I think, Joe, it's because of the imagery that was produced from January 6th. The fact that free men standing up, united, every single color, race, socioeconomic background, everyone was there to support President Trump, to support a free and fair election, not the hijack that we got in 2020. And they can never erase that imagery. It is, you know, this monolithic United States government stole the election, the Democrats. And then you see the American people rise up, peacefully protesting, a million strong. They murder and attack us, and, well, you already know the rest that happened.
You have 1 minute remaining.
After Trump won, what happened? For 3 days, there was a siege on the White House. It was so bad that they had to evacuate the first family, Donald Trump, Melania, you know, their family, into an underground bunker. Then they went and set a church on fire. And what did CNN say? They said it was fiery but mostly peaceful. Over 100 police officers were injured in tons, like I think a few million dollars in damages across D.C. it happened from the riots. But nothing happened there. No congressional hearings. Tons of fences were not only shaken but broken. There were buildings that were demolished, businesses ruined, cop cars lit on fire and flipped. You saw nothing like that on January 6th, and the government didn't come down on those people at all.
Joe, we'll be right back, guys. The Political Prisoner Podcast, you won't get this kind of stuff anywhere else. We're live from the D.C. Gulag. We're fighting for freedom in here. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. I'm live from the D.C. Gulag. I think it's day 970 for me, incarcerated without a trial. Thank God I haven't gone to trial yet, because looking at all the way these other trials are going down, it's just pretty much just going to be a straight railroad. No matter what we do, change of venue motions, all these, like the Proud Boys did this huge change of venue motion with all the statistical data. The government laughed at it. It's been this journey through the criminal justice system, especially the federal criminal justice system, has really unearthed a lot of truth for all the American people. I'm sitting here with Joseph Biggs, a victim of tyranny in America, in modern-day America, a patriot that has been persecuted, 17-year federal prison sentence. It's egregious. It's astronomical. It's downright disgusting, and it's demonic. I want to talk to Joe about his faith in God and how those days in solitary confinement, those long months in trial, how the Lord was with him the whole time, because I know my man, he's got great faith, but I want him to talk to the American people about what the power of the Holy Spirit is to get you through some of the darkest days in your life. Here's Joseph Biggs, guys.
Look, I want to say this. I don't support, you know, violent, you know, protests and all that stuff. You know, I know that people are going to be listening to this. I want to make it very clear. I'm not saying that in any kind of way. You know, but when I say that I don't think that January 6th is that much of a thing, it's just because I've seen worse. I've seen far worse. And to me, that was just a very low on the totem pole as far as things that I've seen. And I think that day was blown way out of proportion. I don't think it's nowhere near as bad as they've made it. I've been to far worse things. And I guess I'll leave it at that. My faith, boy, let me tell you. I was scared the most about being put in solitary confinement when I first got put in jail, because, you know, you watch movies, you get this idea, it's like this black little dark hole, and there's like a little thing they shut, and the light's gone, and you're in there like naked and chained to a wall and all alone. So I had this weird, crazy idea of what solitary confinement would be, and it turned out to be a blessing. You know, I found out who I was in that hole. You know, God was in there with me. I would lay flat on the ground and pray. You know, the only way to get through an experience like that is to completely and totally humble yourself before God. And I would lay with my toes pointed out and my nose on the ground, flat on the ground before God, and be like, you know, I'm yours, all right? So tell me what to do. You know, if I'm supposed to just sit here and wait, then I will. I know Exodus 14:14 says the Lord will fight for you and you'd only be still. So I said, you know what, God, I can sit here as long as I need to. I'm good at that. I can do that. I'll sit here and wait. You know, and you know, verses started popping in my head, ideas. I started getting really curious about, you know, the Bible, and I started like, I don't know, I started getting these dreams and these like ideas of, all of a sudden, the Bible started to make sense to me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It was
weird. I started getting like these, I don't like to say visions because I don't know if people say you're kooky, but I started to get like these visions, these dreams that were so vivid, and all of a sudden, God's Word started to make more and more sense, and it got to a point where it made a lot of sense, and then I started doing Bible studies with other prisoners. I started going, like, I can now, instead of reading the Bible and going, I need a teacher to kind of help me understand this, it all made sense to me, and guys were coming up to me and asking me questions, and I was giving them answers, and I felt comfortable in the answers that I gave them, and I was so shocked by it, you know, and I had this thirst, this quench for more, and I would sit there, and I would read, and I found a radio station on our little radios that would have preachers on there. And I
105.1 WAVA, big shout out. You got us through solitary.
I would listen to the Dr. Erwin Lutzer or whatever his name is, the guy from the Moody Church in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, man, that dude is awesome. And I would listen to these guys and their conversation, and it got me in the Bible, and it got me to where I could understand who I am in this world and where I belong and what I'm meant to do in a sense, or, you know, sometimes we're just meant to shut up and sit there and have faith, and sometimes we're meant to act. And, you know, for a while I was just meant to sit there and kind of work on myself, and I did. And I prayed a lot, and in solitary confinement, all alone, every day, can you believe this? I was happy.
Amen.
I was happy every day. I'm happy right now, and I just found out that I could be in jail for the rest of my life pretty much. I'm still happy, and I don't know how this could be. I mean, I do know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's people want to go, oh, okay, yeah, you're happy, okay. No, I really feel happy.
That's the peace that surpasses understanding that God gives.
And my brother, they ask me, they're like, really, man? Like, that's what it is? I go, yeah. I said, pray to God. You know, you ask God for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom. Ask for understanding, he'll give you understanding. Ask for peace, he will give you peace. You know, I prayed to God before I went before the judge on Tennessee, and I said, God, my mouth is yours, my tongue is yours. You tell me what to say.
Amen.
Use me. Let's not use this as a way to boost the Proud Boys, but let's use this as a way to glorify you, and let's use this horrible situation to bring more people toward you. You know, so use me however you want, God. And that's still my outlook. That's my outlook, and it's still how I stand. And at night when I pray, I go, God, use me. I'm here. I'm your tool. I'm your servant. Do what you want with me, and I'm right here with you. I know that you're going to have my back, and I'm not going to, you know, I prayed, and I, you know, before I go into something crazy now, like before I went in the courtroom, I said, God, fill the courtroom with your angels. I want to feel this overwhelming presence of you around me when I'm in there, so I don't feel scared. I want to feel like, you know, David did in front of Goliath, like when he looked around and he just knew that God was with him.
Amen.
That's the way that I want to feel every day, and that's the way that I do feel now, and I think that people should do this. If you're not talking to God, if you're not praying, if you're not reading the Bible, I don't know what you're waiting on, because it works.
It works. Be encouraged. Listen, guys, be encouraged, because when you see men that are modern day, like, put in apostle-like situations, imprisoned, turned their back on by the same country they fought for, all these heinous things said about them in the media, their name dragged through the mud, and they can still walk with God, then what is your excuse out there? It's not a matter of giving your life over to God in an instant, but it is a matter of constantly every day seeking Him more and more and more. Everyone wants to think that there's always this epiphany moment, but you can learn from us who have been in solitary confinement for a very long time that it is the daily grind of opening up your Bible and praying every day and getting to know Him every day, asking Jesus to come into your heart every day, that really makes you a disciple. You may have a moment in your life that defines you, but it's the daily discipleship, the dying to yourself daily, that'll get you to where you need to be.
Our spirit is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it deteriorates in a sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not out there working out your spirit, your soul, if you're not out there working with your relationship with God, you're going to waste. And when you work that spiritual muscle, when you pray, when you have faith, when you study, when you read, you get stronger, and God's presence grows stronger with you.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Beautiful. All right, Joe, God bless. Tell me, what's next for you? What's next for the Proud Boys? I mean, looking down the barrel of this ridiculous prison sentence, but tell the American people what they can see on the horizon in your life and for the Proud Boys and for our country.
Go to freejoebiggs.com. You can donate there to help me out with my legal fees and help out with my daughter.
He's got an appeal, guys. He has a massive appeal going on. So please, right now, if you're listening, head on over to freejoebiggs.com. We have a large legal battle, an important legal battle that needs funding. freejoebiggs.com. Please, guys.
Yeah, so we got the appeal coming up. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of things going to the Supreme Court out of all of this. We've already got that, the one thing with you. You know, there's a lot of that going on. And then it's just, you know, staying in the fight, staying mentally sound, staying in shape. You know, I've got to continue to stay ready and on my toes, because you've got to be at the peak of your performance when you go through these hard times. You can't sit down, you can't get scared, you can't curl up into a ball and cry, oh God, why me? You know, look, life can suck sometimes, but you got to pull yourself up, and you got to go through that grind, and God's going to help you out. You know, my nickname in the Proud Boys was the Hated One, and I got to do some research, and in Hebrew, the Hated One, in Hebrew was translated to the Hated One.
Wow.
And I thought that was funny that was my nickname, and that's what, you know, Job's name means, the Hated One, because, you know, the devil came after him, and, you know, he lost everything. You know, I've lost everything right now, and I'm still standing here, and if I can do it, you can do it. So praise God. I'm so happy. I'm glad that I have my relationship with Jesus, and I'm glad that I have a strong support team. You know, my brothers, my mother, Kathy, I love you. You've helped me so much with all this.
Shout out to Mama.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just blessed, you know, even though that, you know, you might be listening to this and going, oh, my God, that poor thing. Don't say that. Don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me at all. Don't shed a tear for me, because I'm doing fine, and this isn't over, and I'm going to fight until my feet fall off. And when my feet fall off, I'm going to fight until my lower legs fall off, until I'm running on my knees. And then when that happens, I'm scooting on my pelvis. So, God is going to help me pull through this, and God can help you pull through anything. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for all that you do.
Amen.
And I'm so happy that I have a relationship with you, and I'm so glad that I matter to you. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do with me and the Proud Boys in the future, because we're standing back and we're standing by.
Woo! Guys, God bless America. That's amazing. Please, guys, again, freejoebiggs.com. Make a generous donation. You know, this is the kind of spiritual alignment that we're looking for, the prayers. Pray for Savannah. Joe's got a six-year-old daughter at home. She's an angel, the apple of his eye. You know, he's not going to be able to see her for a little while here, but through your prayers and through God's will and his grace, we're going to get all the Jan Sixers freed. You know, we need every single prayer. We need all the donations. We love you guys. We appreciate them. And I just want to make sure that the American people know that, you know, everything that you guys do when you stand beside us, it is appreciated. These Proud Boys, these Jan Sixers, these Christian men in here are grateful to have the millions of supporters that we do on the outside. And we just want to make sure that you guys know that. So thank you so much. FreeJoeBiggs.com. You're the Political Prisoner Podcast. Not going to get this stuff anywhere else, guys. Support our political prisoners. Support the prisoners of war. God bless everybody. I'm Jake Lang.